You're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. It is Thursday, December 8th. We are watching First Take. You are watching us right now.
Hopefully.
Field, Stefania, Mike, and myself. We are here hanging out. Four wide. Would this be, the running gun? What would our offense
would work,
be called
yeah.
right now?
Yeah, the double-double wide.
The double-double wide?
Yeah. Yeah. Spread formation.
Spread formation.
Yeah.
Who's in the backfield?
Arizona Cardinals, who often, well,
empty
maybe
backfield.
Not so much
empty
this
backfield.
Year.
Empty backfield.
No, there's, no four Kyle, wide. There's somebody
Kyle's
in the backfield.
Got to be
I know.
In the backfield.
Well, no, that he's so far in the backfield. Yeah.
He's in victory formation. You know, in victory formation, when the one guy stays like 12 yards behind the rest in case there's a fumbled snap and he has to make a game, I guess, saving or preserving tackle. Well,
that could very well happen here.
Who is it that always has a backflip when that happens? Somebody always has a backflip.
Yeah, who does that? I don't know.
It's like obviously Tyreek Hill's done a lot of backflip, but somebody always has a backflip at the end of victory formation. I feel like it was a Giants player earlier this year.
General Olszewski?
I don't.
He's not,
no, he plays for the Steelers. It could be Gunner.
I'm trying to think. I swear I've seen Gunner do a backflip.
Very
before.
Possible.
It's like Ricky
he's a
James
man of many talents.
Like
I don't know. All right. So hopefully the stream is showing us and not First Take for those that are looking to watch fantasy football news. But if you're watching First Take while listening to us, that must be a weird experience.
It's
because
be
what we are talking about is very different from what's being talked about on First Take right now. Let's dive into fantasy football.
We got a
news,
bunch
Daniel.
To be able to talk about. We got news we're going to get into. We have Thursday night preview. We got wide receiver cornerback. We've got squirrel stock. I really quickly, before we start though, I want to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine. Do you guys mind?
Of course not.
No.
My buddy, Jared Kuhn, right now is at the, and I'm going to pull this up because Rosie texted to me. I was going to get all of the information wrong.
Okay.
Okay. As a part of all of this. But he is a weightlifter. And right now he is currently going for the Grand Slam Award, which is the winner of four major weightlifting competitions within a calendar year. Last year, he is in his mid-40s, so like for his age group. He finished with gold in three events, and then his daughter Caroline was born right before the fourth event was supposed to start. So he did not try to get a chance to do the Grand Slam, and so he is going for it now. Again, the Grand Slam world record holder. He broke five world records last year when he did this. So going for it again this year. Super stoked for you, Jared. Love you so much, man. So unbelievably proud of you. I don't know what any of these things mean, but his snatch record is 317 pounds. I don't know if that's
very
a lot.
Yeah, that's
and his clean and jerk is 381. I don't know. Wow.
Mine's like 360.
I was going to say, now it makes more sense. A couple weeks ago, you kept calling Mike Jared, and I was who is he confusing
so
him with?
Confusing.
And now it makes more sense.
But Jared, so pumped for you, man. Go out there and crush it. You're going to be awesome. Freaking love you, bud. And
drink some milk, get those bones nice and healthy, and go out there and crush.
That's right. And then afterwards, grab yourselves a couple
of
Miller
Lite. Is that what you do? Is that what you do? Like you're giving him advice? You're like, listen to me. I know what to do. Drink milk.
All right.
I think he got it covered. For you, okay.
Peel back the curtain.
Did you hear his resume?
All right.
Like, I think he's good on the diet part.
Something has changed. There has been a change.
I love it.
In Mike Clay, and it happened exactly 8 days
swagger.
Ago.
It did.
No, it was.
It was.
Mike Clay took us out to go kart.
Yep.
And he has one night where he gets a little lucky and he puts that pedal a little more to the metal than I do. Just a little more, not by much, but just a little.
Just a smidge.
You know, like
I heard he lapped you.
A lot of times.
It's debatable, Stefania. I'm not sure lap is the appropriate term.
He might have seen me because he was going so slow. He's like, what was that? Was that a fly?
Anyway, you guys are wondering why Mike's confidence and his bravado and perhaps his braggadociousness has increased exponentially over the past 9 days. That's why.
Yeah. That's why. That's
I used to be so intimidated by you over there up on your pedestal, but not anymore. You've knocked yourself down a few pegs.
Wow.
Mike has
ready.
A racing unit at home. Like, what, you
he
know,
really does. Yeah, I was actually surprised he didn't show up in like a full like racing outfit when we did our go-karts. Like, maybe next time.
I thought about it. Yeah.
Maybe next suit.
All right. Let's jump into a bunch of news. We got a bunch of stuff to get into today. A lot of football. Stefania, let's start with some positive, hopefully positive news, maybe from an injury front. Trevor Lawrence had a little bit of something happen to him. He's been dealing with a few things, but maybe we're going to be able to see him here this Sunday.
It looked terrible when it happened.
It sure did.
You guys remember? He grabbed immediately around his knee. We were looking at his ankle, his knee. Turns out it's his left big toe, which is not insignificant, but he said it's feeling a lot better than it has the last few days. He said he expects to play. Doug Peterson said he expects him to get back into practice on Thursday or Friday. So right now, all signs pointing towards Trevor Lawrence going.
Love that. Yes. And that'll just be everything that you need for that Jaguars offense. All right, let's talk. Mike Williams, well, Stefania, ankle injury. Are we going to be able to see Mike Williams here finally this week?
We don't know.
Come on.
I mean, Brandon Staley called him day-to-day, but if you follow the Chargers, Brandon Staley calls most people day-to-day, although there was a period of time where Keenan Allen was week-to-week. But Mike Williams with the high ankle sprain, remember he came back week 11, had one really big catch, landed awkwardly. The thing that we were most worried about came up limping and hasn't actually been in practice at all since then. So the fact he was back in practice, even though it was limited, was actually a step forward. But I don't know that they're ready to declare him available for this weekend.
That's something to be able to continue to monitor. Obviously, if Mike Williams doesn't rule, we would assume Josh Palmer right back in that same role we've been using him in field.
Yeah, he's been fine. He's been okay.
He's been okay.
Right, like he's been playing basically every snap for the Chargers. Do you think that would be good when you play with Justin Herbert? He's seen a reasonable target share. He just hasn't had as many smash games as you would have hoped for a player that we think is talented and an offense that we think is quite good.
Six teams on a bye this week, though.
Frankly, honestly, like maybe it's because of injuries. Maybe it's because the wide receivers haven't been available. But this is not the dominant offense that it was in previous seasons. Justin Herbert's numbers are going to be a far cry from where he was last year at this exact same time.
Yeah, and I think you feel pretty good about Palmer, especially if Williams is out. He hasn't been under seven targets since week four. Week four. It's been a long time. Like, he's seen good volume for sure. Wide receiver 20 since week five. Yeah.
Right. You like him, but you would have thought, like, oh, wow, he's taken over a number two receiver role in LA. Mm-hmm. He could be a top 12 play in a given week. It hasn't really been that often that we've seen him reach that ceiling.
Yeah. By the way, if Williams comes back, I think Palmer a flex option. If Williams is out again, then Palmer is like in that wide receiver two, three conversation. Yeah.
Yep. All right, Stefania, Michael Carter, any chances we will see him this week, even though Bam Knight has become one of our favorite running backs in the NFL lately?
Just to make everybody really happy about what to do with the situation there in New York, I do think Michael Carter would be back. He's not even on the injury report. They actually took him off fully practicing with, it was the ankle issue that kept him out before.
Mike, if we see both of these running backs in the Jets backfield, how are you parsing them out here in week 14?
I'm going to lean toward Carter. You know, the last time we saw these guys, it was a two-headed backfield, and I think that's what we expect again. You might actually see a little Ty Johnson, and maybe James Robinson is active and gets a couple
touches.
I'd
be surprised.
I would be surprised as well. So my expectation is Bam Knight probably holds an edge in the carry department, Michael Carter in passing situations, and it's not a good situation against a good Buffalo defense, right? Yeah. So avoid if you can, if you have to pick one. Carter's the better flex.
Okay. All right. And one last running back to talk about. We got a bunch more, unfortunately, injuries we will get into throughout the show, Stefania. But Mark Ingram, after we talked about him being out there in place of Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram now, unfortunately, out for the season.
Yeah, an MCL injury, pretty significant. You know, they call it a 4 to 6 week timeline, but these injuries are more problematic for running backs. Always hard to get back. And you look at where they are, they've bye in week 14. Just hard to envision him coming back this year.
Yeah. Old friend David Johnson might be on the Saints 53-man roster before you know it. Obviously,
what a name.
They don't play until week 15. I don't think there's any fantasy value there. Frankly, what this probably means is that Alvin Kamara, whose workload has been not cut in half, but it felt like the snaps were about cut in half this past week on Monday Night Football. You should expect him to be a much busier man going forward.
And more Taysom Hill. More Taysom Hill carries.
Just what the
just for Stefania.
Just what the public wants, Mike. Yeah.
Don't want to talk about it.
Ironically, if Taysom Hill made, which would have been an amazing play, if he had made that catch on that 3rd and 17, I believe it was on Monday night, where Dalton throws a dart and Taysom Hill gets his hands on it, makes a good play, but just a great better play by the defensive back to dislodge it from him. We would be talking about Taysom Hill in a very different light.
Heck yeah. All right, let's talk about
the Saints for that matter. And the Bucks for that matter.
Everybody in that game would be different. Yeah.
The Saints could still make the playoffs.
Stop it.
I mean, they can.
That's the, you know what's dumb about
that
math?
Division.
That.
Yeah.
That's what's stupid about
that.
No,
that's what's dumb about that division.
Oh, okay.
That division is so bad.
That division.
There are no good teams in that division.
Yeah.
Let's
talk.
The
best of the worst.
Mm-hmm. Thursday night preview.
Game preview. Can I ask you guys to do me a favor before we start talking about this game?
You bet.
Just rewind to about, I don't know, maybe March 25th of this year. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking to yourself, week 14 of the fantasy football season and the NFL's regular season, we've got Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson and Cam Akers and Tyler Higbee and Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams and Derek Carr. He's a sleeper quarterback, right? And Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller. This might be the game of the year for fantasy football. Yeah, let's talk about reality now.
Because there's not much to talk about. This could be a short conversation, actually.
I mean, just that's... This
so
game
has
big billing. Like this probably would is this was probably one of the games that Amazon was most fired up to get during the preseason. And here we are now.
without a doubt, the only lineup locks that we have on this list. Josh Jacobs, who is obvious, and Davante Adams, who is obvious. You're starting both of these Raiders. I'm not sure.
I'm just telling you, because I'm obligated, contractually obligated to say when there's a player who's questionable for the game. Yep. Josh Jacobs is listed as questionable. He now has another injured body part to add to the list. He has a quad injury to go with the calf injury. You know, at some point, these things are going to catch up with him. I don't know when. This is a short week. The guy's been running like a machine.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Just go back a couple of years. I mean, it used to be problematic when Josh Jacobs was banged up. And we saw it play out. So I don't want to hear from anyone that I didn't tell you that it was possible that he would struggle.
For those that aren't watching or just listening, if you didn't see Mike's projections for Josh Jacob banking in the two injuries, he's dropped him from 29.5 fantasy points to 29.4 fantasy points for the week.
You guys can mock it all you want, but one of these days...
No.
Yeah, I'm worried about it.
I'm just saying. Of course, we're keeping an eye on it, but you know, for fantasy, you have to make a decision at 8:15, and the decision is you start Josh Jacobs, and if he gets less than 20 fantasy points, you're probably surprised.
Yeah. I'm worried anytime someone gets 39 touches in a game. I don't care who it is. That's a huge number for a running back.
Look, all you got to do is go to Carolina and their track record of doing that to somebody. Yeah.
You were simultaneously worried, but also unbelievably ecstatic at the same time.
Yeah, which if is he's like in
your lineup. And super impressed.
Yes.
Because he is hurt and he's running like a machine.
Is there anybody else in this Raiders offense, any other pass catchers, Mike Clay, that you would look at? We've had the Mac Hollins experience. I think we've all moved on. Foster Moreau, I think we've all basically moved on if we can help it.
Island. We'll see if Hunter Renfrow's activated for this game, but even if he is, he was not good at all this year.
I believe
anyway,
he has one more week before he's
out. Yeah, I saw it was like 60% someone estimated for this. But
I thought and Darren Waller couldn't be activated until next week. Am I wrong on that, Matt?
No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Renfrow is eligible this week.
They were on the same day. And I thought that they have one more game. Maybe I'm totally wrong here. Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It seems unlikely.
Kyle's going to look it up for us while he's in the backfield. We'll find out. Field, we've been talking about these running backs, and we've heard Adam Schefter talk about Kyren Williams a handful, but now we've got Cam Akers that came on last week sort of out of nowhere. If you're looking at these running backs, do you feel strongly one way or the other?
No. Yeah, no. You were having this conversation yesterday about how just like there are certain players that you can accurately assess the fantasy value from them before the season and it'll carry all the way through the season, right? Guys like Travis Kelce and Cooper Kupp when he was healthy and players of that caliber. What we have to realize, there's a very different game within the game, which is that some things shift week to week, and that's where things are right now with the Rams running back. So it's not the same thing per se, but it reminds me of the Lions backfield in that, well, a couple weeks ago, I would have told you that Jamal Williams needs to be ranked ahead of DeAndre Swift, and Swift is borderline unplayable. A couple of weeks ago, I would have told you that Kyren Williams needs to be ranked ahead of Cam Akers, and Akers is borderline unplayable. Well, after last week, when Akers got way more carries, found the end zone twice, had six more routes than Kyren Williams, and played 46 to 17 snaps, I'm here to tell you that right now, if you have to choose one, it's pretty clearly Cam Akers, who's still only RB29 for me. But if you're choosing between the two of them, the preference is Cam Akers.
Yep. Yeah. Hopefully you don't have to start either one of them. That's the hope here. This is not the kind of running back. You don't want to start either of these guys on a Thursday night football game. I promise you would rather have other options. But if you need to, I'm with you, Field.
Yeah.
On Cam Akers. Any other?
We'll talk about this with Shefty. We'll save it for the end of the show with Shefty. But he has some breaking news on the potential of Baker Mayfield starting tonight for the Rams. So sounds like that is in play. As of right now, John Wolford is questionable.
Questionable.
Yep. He's hurt.
I'm out on all of these other wide receivers. The only other player that we've ever considered because of how bad the position is Tyler Higbee. I'm also out on Tyler Higbee at this point, Mike, but I want to know where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tight end is so bad that he's still in the top 15, top 12. Like, he's in that range. He might be your best option with six teams on a bye. Same kind of thing with Van Jefferson.
Baker throwing to him.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it's not.
Take your chances.
I love it.
You try to avoid this if you can. Remember, Baker had a hard time supporting fantasy relevant players in Carolina. He couldn't even support DJ Moore, who Sam Darnold makes look like wide receiver one. So I don't feel great about that no matter what. You avoid this game as best you can other than Jacobs, Adams, and that's it.
That's it. Any chance Jalen Ramsey's going to do any kind of shadowing on Davante Adams?
He'll be on him a little bit. The Rams have not been good slowing receivers, but the way Ramsey is used is that he'll lean toward the top receiver like we saw with DK Metcalf last week. He'll kind of lean his direction, but it won't be full-time. So it's nothing to worry about.
The Rams are without Aaron Donald, so there is that.
That is
part
of
me is like, far be it to criticize what the Rams are doing defensively, because they have been still respectable even in a year with a bunch of injuries. Part of me is also like, isn't Jalen Ramsey like the self-proclaimed best cornerback in the world? Don't you think he'd want the challenge of being like, oh, you're the best wide receiver in the world? I got you tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
And also they're getting lit up by receivers. Mm-hmm. They've allowed like the third most fantasy points to the perimeter. It's not working. So you would think, put Ramsey on Adams in this scenario, try to shut him down, and then you're dealing with Keelan Cole and
the Eagles have other good cornerbacks as well. So like, you can feel comfortable when Darius Slay is not covering Devontae Adams because you're like, okay, we have James Bradbury. We're in good hands. Like, the drop off between Jalen Ramsey and the next corner for the Rams is so significant. These days, I mean, it's hard to tell these days, right?
Like David Long, Troy Hill's
banged up.
Yeah, that's been the situation all year. Those reserve corners have been banged up all year.
Wow. 44.5 points in this game is what the...
So we're really excited about
Mike,
this.
What do you got?
I'm on the under, apparently. I have 22-18 Raiders. So actually, the Rams covering this minus six.
Yeah, okay. I will not have the Rams covering this
regardless
game.
Regardless of who's at quarterback.
Who's under center. Mm-hmm. All right.
Who's taking?
I'm going to take the Raiders.
Raiders.
I'll take the Raiders, too. I will say this. I think this game starts... I think the Rams come out and play tough to begin this game.
They did that last. They've done that the last couple of weeks.
I think they're going to put out a respectable effort, even without all of these key players. I think the Raiders eventually win this game, which would bring them to 4 straight wins, by the way, 6-7. Maybe not quite in the playoff picture, but at least showing some signs of life. But I think the Rams play tougher than you might expect for a team that could start a guy who they acquired via waivers on Tuesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like the Raiders are going to own this.
You think so?
I really hope so because I don't want another Monday Night Football. Like, I can't do 2 games like that back to back where it's just like tough to watch for 60 straight minutes.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything negative about the Raiders because I'm already blocked by Derek Carr on Twitter. And now I follow him on Instagram now, so I don't want to get blocked there too. So I'm just going to...
Wow, all right.
Okay.
I'll leave it there.
All right. Let's get into a couple more game previews. Like,
you may be good at go-karting, but at least I'm humble on social media. Wow. I'm not a jerk to star quarterbacks.
No big deal. No big deal, Mike Clay.
Never mind. I'm not saying anything.
Wow.
Mike is...
Sorry, Derek. Have you blocked?
Love you.
Feisty.
How about Big Ben? Does Big Ben block you? He blocks a million people.
Nope, not blocked by him. Just, I think Derek Carr and T.O. are the only ones I'm aware of. I don't know why T.O. I have no idea. I can't answer that.
We had this conversation before, I think, on this show. Like, the most random person that you are blocked by, and like, who is it? Like, who is the most random person that you're blocked by? You're like, I have no idea. Well, I mean, who that you have stumbled upon that you are aware that you are blocked by?
Just those two. I don't know. That's anyone else. How about you? Who is it?
Muffet McGraw, the former Notre Dame women's basketball coach. I literally have never tweeted anything even like within
that's 50 circles
of Muffet McGraw. Like, I just, someone like, quote, you know, a lot of coaches will tweet out like inspirational quotes. Uh-huh. So I think somebody, and I follow like Jordan Cornett, who played basketball at Notre Dame. Like, he interacts with a lot of the Notre Dame community, and Mike Golick Jr. and Mike Golick Sr. So I did get a decent amount of Notre Dame stuff into my timeline, and all of a sudden it was like, this tweet is unavailable. And I'm like, I wonder what this tweet is. Muffet McGraw has blocked you. And I was like, I have nothing but reverence for the work that she did. Amazing. She was an amazing coach for Notre Dame. Yeah. And so I was like, I keep things very much between the navigational beakers on Twitter. Like, I am a football person. Beacons? What did I say?
Navigational beakers.
Beakers. Whatever. Navigational beacons. I've had a couple of Miller Lights already this morning, apparently. I don't really tweet about women's basketball that often, right? Like, I don't really have a take on Notre Dame's women's basketball. If they're good, I watch them on TV, and I got blocked.
Just
by
judging from the, you know.
Do you have someone, Stefania?
No, I don't know.
No one blocks Stefania.
Believe me. There are blocks. I just don't know who they are.
I do. I'm blocked by Keith.
What?
Yeah, Keith Lips can block me. So
that adds up.
Keith is a very high volume tweeter, so you're missing out on a lot. I think he tweeted once on 4th of July, and since then hasn't happened.
Keith is like Jay Billis, right? You know, just tweet, don't pay attention. Don't follow anyone.
Shout out to Not Cool Keith. All right, let's talk a couple of game previews here for week 14. Teams on bye include Falcons, the Bears, the Packers, the Colts, the Saints, Commanders.
That's a lot.
Last one. All right. Let's start with the Vikings at the Lions. This should be a high scoring game. One of the highest over unders of the week. Lineup locks include Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think we can add TJ Hockenson into that list pretty safely as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and he plays for the other team.
Oh, and
now
he plays for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk about Dalvin
Cook. I just want to point out.
Yes?
DeAndre Swift's back on the injury report.
Oh, well, Stefania, that's where I was going to start.
I know.
All right.
Well, I just didn't want you to get too excited about DeAndre Swift because what did you say earlier in the week? As long as he's off the injury report, we feel really good about his utilization.
Yep.
I think this is what they were trying to avoid. I'm not going to panic too much. It's one day. It's a limited workout. This is perhaps just a measure of them being proactive to save him towards the end of the week, but it was because of his ankle.
Okay. Something to keep monitoring as we get through practice reports through the end of the week. Obviously, him being healthy is huge. Let's start with the Vikings field. I feel like we've looked at a guy like Kirk Cousins as like a low-end streamer, like maybe all year long. He hasn't been super consistent. However, this is a situation where in spite of what Kirk Cousins has done, the matchup is just too good with six teams on a bye not to maybe at least consider him in a streaming option.
Yeah, both quarterbacks. We'll talk about Jared Goff in just a little bit, but they fall in the same category for me. I don't know if I would call Kirk Cousins quite a streamer because he has been started in a bunch of leagues up to this point, but the matchup is a good one. The Lions are playing better pass defense over the past 5 weeks than where they were for the first half, maybe like 8 weeks of the season. Yeah, first half of the season.
Sure.
So yes, I am interested in Kirk Cousins. I have him as quarterback 8 on my board with Cousins. The math is pretty simple. He throws the ball a lot. He has excellent pass catchers, most notably Justin Jefferson, and it's a good matchup. I don't overthink it much more than that.
What about on the other side? Field mentioned Jared Goff. Is he somebody that with this understanding the Vikings defense can be taken advantage of? And we've watched Jared Goff take advantage of some teams. It's a little bit riskier than Kirk Cousins, I think.
Yeah, I think it was, Tuesday we were arguing about this, if like Goff is a good streamer, and I'm 13th and you're 11th, so we're clearly way different on this one. Yeah. I don't feel as strongly about it, obviously, but look, he was QB4 last week. That was his first finish better than 12th since week 4. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the first month of the season when they played the Vikings back in week 3. He had 13.9 points. This is a struggling defense. He didn't fare too well in that game, but the Vikings allowed the fourth most points to quarterbacks over the last 8 weeks, so it continues to be a struggle for them. If you're in a spot and you need to stream him, fine. I think you can aim higher. He just, much like Cousins, he has a limited ceiling.
But he's just playing so well right now. He's playing so well. They're locked in. The play calling has been marvelous of late for the Detroit Lions. They're getting healthier among some of the key position guys that even if DeAndre has been added to the injury report, like they have a healthier group of wide receivers right now. The backfield should be at full strength. Probably the reason why I'm lower on Jared Goff than Kirk Cousins is that we know if the Lions have the ball from the 5-yard line or in, they're running it.
Jamal Williams.
Probably straight times with Jamal Williams, which could be the difference between 3 touchdown passes and 2 touchdown passes for Jared Goff. But yeah, I'm confident in Jared Goff as well. I know that the Lions are an amazing, amazing story. I mean, the Vikings, both of them are. The Vikings are awesome. They're 10-2. They deserve all the praise, but they are 10-2 because of their offense and because they just find ways to, just by like the narrowest of margins, win games.
I feel like this is the team that always makes you think they're going to win and then gives it up in the end against the team that can't beat anybody by more than one touchdown.
Ooh.
Well, I saw that. You know, it's crazy.
That's sort of been the narrative on both teams. Like the score differential, the Vikings could have they're 10-2. They could easily be 5-5, 6-4.
Well, how about this to take that point one further? I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I apologize for not having the author of this tweet, but you know, one thing that tends to over time equalize in the NFL is one score game luck. Mm-hmm. You don't tend to just continue to win one score games over and over and over and over again. The Raiders are a good example this year. They won all their one score games last year. They haven't won nearly as many this season. If you were to flip every team in the one score games that they've played this season and turn their wins into losses, Vikings would be 1-11, worst team in the NFL. Now, listen, that's completely unfair to the Vikings,
right,
okay?
Right. Well,
and by the way, the Lions would be like something like 9-3 or
sounds
something.
Sounds like an awesome
thing.
We should do that.
Yeah. So if you just flipped it, which I get it, it's totally unfair. They are 10-2. They deserve it. It's just the idea that like they win games close. They don't win blowouts. They win games by, you know, the
thinnest of margins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, who's favored in this one?
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
1-point favorites. How about that?
Well, yep. Home team.
Mike, do both of these wide receiving cores, I know we talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown and Justin Jefferson are must starts, but do they both end up on the shadow report that you do?
The Vikings are definitely on there against, I mean, they both, both sides are, but yeah, I mean, look, what's interesting about this matchup from the Vikings perspective offensively is that when these teams played earlier this season, week three, Jeff Okuda shadowed Justin Jefferson on all but one of his perimeter routes. And it worked.
Yes.
It worked. It was one of Jefferson's worst games in a long time. Three catches, 14 yards on six targets in that game. Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne had big games in that one, right? I mean, the Lions have struggled overall against receivers and especially against the slot. So you would think, based on how it went the first time, they're probably going to do the same thing.
Yep.
And that makes, you know, Jefferson, maybe you're avoiding a DFS. Obviously, it's Justin Jefferson. You play him. But Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne, kind of sneaky plays. They're going to have
good
matchups.
Keep an eye on Jeff Okuda. Did not practice because of an illness. There's like, again, we were talking
about
half
the league's had illnesses right now, right?
This is a bit, well, it's the country. Like, it's just a reflection of what's going on. The flu is really rampant. So it is worth noting, though, because, you know, it's not something where you have an easy timetable on it. We tend to think guys come back in a day or two from illness. But if it's going through and it tends to go through position groups, watch what happens late in the week, the people who get sick late in the week.
Totally. Last thing I'll say is that far be it to tell you to bench Jamal Williams because he just keeps scoring touchdowns. But DeAndre Swift did get goal line work last week. And the secret sauce for Jamal Williams was that he had 27 goal to go opportunities, by far the most in the NFL. Like, it wasn't even close. 18 was the next closest. And last week, DeAndre Swift got goal line work. And if he continues to get goal line work, if he gets all of it, if Jamal Williams only gets one or two opportunities, that could be the difference between a 17 carry for 49 yard game and a 18 carry for 50 yards and one touchdown game. The latter is a salvageable effort. The former is not good enough.
By the way, you might think, like, Williams keeps scoring touchdowns, so he must be doing really good in fantasy, right? He's a touchdown in four consecutive games, but he has zero targets in five straight games.
Yep.
He has been under 12 fantasy points in four of his last five games, which is hard to believe. Yeah. You would think if he's scoring every week, he's got to be getting like 15, 20 points. He's not.
I have him in multiple leagues, but I have him in a non-PPR league, and he continues to hold value there, because you're like, who cares about the catches? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I love Jamal Williams. And then on my PPR league, I'm like, Jesus, I'm like 10.4 points again. I could have played, you know, I could have played a J.D. McKissick version or somebody like
that. Yeah, I could have played Alvin Kamara.
I mean, like, you could play a guy who had a bad day and still get you 12 fantasy points. You know, Latavius Murray, four catches for 14 yards, and you're like, good enough.
Zonovan Knight. Right?
Knight looks good to me, though.
Yeah, he does.
So I actually would like playing.
All right, that's fair. Let's talk about another game here. Browns at Bengals. Lineup blocks for the Browns and Bengals include
a lot of them.
Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, we'll get to him in a second, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. That's a big list of people, Stefania. My first question is, will we actually have Joe Mixon on the field this week?
I think we will. I mean, you put in a full practice, so, you know, we still have to await the final clearance. A little bone to pick with the Bengals here, because apparently Zach Taylor said that they held him out, never even bothered to try and get the INC clearance because they knew he wasn't going to make it. And I was like, you know, we could have used that information on Saturday. Mm. And they had made that, they apparently had made that decision on Saturday. That's what he told reporters. So, and unfortunately, we didn't know that until right before kickoff. But him practicing, Joe Mixon practicing early this week, full participation, again, still have to get the final clearance for him to be able to play. But that is a huge step. He had not done that last week.
The other Bengal that we will not have is Hayden Hurst, Stefania, just in case you were wondering about the tight end position here, you would have to find somebody else.
Yes, we were talking about the, you know, travesty that is the tight end position. And Hayden Hurst has been serviceable, and he's certainly involved in that offense, a high-powered offense, had a calf injury. We saw him on the sideline last week after he was hurt, not practicing, not expected.
Mike, when I look at these, you're starting literally every single Bengal that you have. Tyler Boyd is probably the lowest one as like a lower end flex play. Is there anything else from the Bengals that we need to talk about? Because you're just starting all of them.
Nope. I got nothing. I have nothing else here. You start the lineup blocks. That's all you need.
Right. The only thing I keep an eye on is, assuming Joe Mixon plays, I'm still playing him. But wouldn't stun me if Samaje Perine has a more significant role than he did prior to Joe Mixon's concussion, only because he's been so good for them over the past two and a half, three games.
Yeah, I'll say this. So he was playing, sorry, Stefania, he was playing like 20 snaps a game with Mixon earlier this season, so he will definitely have a role.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is you're not starting Samaje Perine.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, again, maybe Joe Mixon, like, if at the end of the day, you know, rather than a 20-point effort, it's like, he only has 13 carries and he has three targets. You're like, wait, Joe Mixon only had 13 carries in a game? Like, maybe because Samaje Perine plays a dash more. I'm still lineup blocking.
Fair enough.
Joe Mixon, but certainly keeping an eye on it.
I was just going to say it's interesting because Zach Taylor addressed that yesterday. They were asking him about the Joe Mixon, you know, Samaje Perine has played so well. And it was like, yeah, that's great. That's what we expect when somebody's out. Joe Mixon's our starting running back. He's the guy.
He's the guy.
So we'll see.
I think one of the most, I'm not sure exactly what the term is, interesting decisions of the week in all of fantasy, though, is what to do with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason why, is that I think there are some people that were scraping by at quarterback with really bad options left and right all the way up until week 13. And they thought to themselves, I've hung in the race. Now I have a fantasy relevant quarterback. 1 week into the Deshaun Watson experience in Cleveland, you did not get a fantasy relevant performance as he had just 5.3 points. He was terrible. And this wasn't one of those where like the game flow was such that like they barely threw the ball and he was just handing the ball off to Nick Chubb and they were rushing for 250 yards. Like if you go back and watch him, it was not good. It was very ugly. And that's against a Houston Texans defense that was without some of its top players and isn't as good as the Bengals defense. This environment is going to be extremely hostile on Sunday. I have Watson as quarterback 9. There's not a player who I feel less certain about going into the week at the quarterback spot than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it is tough. I will say this, though. He did only attempt 22 passes, right? It was part of it was because they were inefficient, but they were and they were able to run the football, but he only threw 22 passes in that game in what was very low-volume offense.
You go back and watch those throws.
I know. I agree with you. That's why it's trouble. That's why it's tough, right? Because he didn't. You know, if he doesn't play,
he's still very talented on the football field. We know that much. You just hope, you know, if you were sort of hanging on and you have Deshaun Watson and you're like, all right, this finally, and you've been, I don't know who the quarterback, you know, you've been playing with Tom Brady or something. You're like, I finally have my answer.
And you may, right? Because game script should be different. So remember, Houston is like, what, third fewest fantasy points of quarterbacks this season? No one has been like over 21 against him.
It's actually not about the volume.
Run against him all the time. So, but he can be inefficient. If he throws 37 passes because they're trailing Cincinnati and scrambles 7 times, he's going to be fine. He's going to be a QB1. That's what I think.
Yeah, so I have him as quarterback 9, but I am not, just because the misses were so bad.
Balls
in the dirt, under throws.
Joe Burrow finally gets his win.
Hope so.
Against the Browns.
Hope so.
We could have a whole podcast about just how remarkable Joe Burrow's been this year. Not just in real football and fantasy. He has been a megastar.
He's also a great quote because they were asking about Cleveland and what, you know, sort of this is his kryptonite, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, they have Myles Garrett. He just owned it. Like,
I think Myles Garrett is really good.
That's who it is. Yeah. That's the problem.
I think he's everyone's kryptonite though, right?
Yeah, like, but Micah there's Parsons, a real, Myles they have, Garrett, a, they have just, a very special one.
Sure.
Relationship, those two.
When we look at these Browns, it's not just Deshaun Watson that struggled last week. It's the potential that these wide receivers also are in a spot that is a tough matchup here this week, Mike.
Yeah, it is. Bengals' fifth fewest fantasy points to receivers, second fewest over the last 8 weeks, second fewest to the perimeter. That's where Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones primarily align. They've allowed the fewest receptions to receivers this season. They've been really good. And keep this in mind. They've done this without their top corner. Jadobi Awuzie has been out for, a month and a half now on IR. He's not coming back. In fact, the last time these teams played, that was week 8. Awuzie left that game injured. That's when he went down for the season. Eli Apple also didn't play. Now, Cooper had a big game, but, I mean, if the other defense is just falling apart in the secondary, that kind of makes sense. So, yeah, it's a downgrade. I mean, it's a tougher matchup than usual. You're still starting Cooper. Maybe you avoid in DFS, but it's Amari Cooper, and he's heavily targeted. So, you're starting him. Peoples-Jones probably avoiding in this one. Yep. Matchup's tough, so quarterback change. Yep. We just expressed the concerns there, but
David Cooper's and Joker going to play, you think, or no?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think this is another wait and see.
But that would, if he does play, that's obviously one more target that Donovan Peoples-Jones would be competing for targets with.
Okay.
Eagles-Giants.
Eagles-Giants.
Let's do it.
I was looking through a couple of stats I was trying to get around for earlier.
Yeah.
Eagles-Giants lineup locks include Mike Clay.
No stats for us.
Jalen Hurts. I don't need stats for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. You start them all. Do you need any stats for the Eagles, Mike?
Just that win total. I like it. I like
Saquon it. Barkley.
All right. Well, yeah. Saquon Barkley for the Giants, the only lineup lock there for them. Outside of the Eagles, you're starting basically everyone. I want to start with the Giants. Daniel Jones. He's a rushing quarterback. He's able to make some things happen with his legs. It's not always pretty. It doesn't always feel good when you put him in your fantasy lineup.
Yeah.
But is he someone that you can use as a streamer here with six teams on a bye in spite of how bad the Philadelphia, or in spite of how bad his matchup is against a good Philly defense?
No.
I don't think so either. No, 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 I've got him as quarterback 14, and there are six teams on a bye this week.
Yeah. That's bad.
Exactly. And there's no Lamar Jackson. You know, I mean, it's tough. And it's Brady's rough. Obviously further down the board than that. So I'm not sure. Maybe Mike or Stefania feels differently. Other than the lineup blocks, like, are there really anything in this game that you're like, okay, I'm debating. Like,
no,
if you play Darius Slayton, it's because you have to. No one wants to play a relatively low volume, unlikely to score a touchdown receiver in a normal matchup against the best secondary in the NFL. Yeah,
that's right. So, he's been good lately, but to your point, he's on the perimeter all the time. He's going to see Bradbury, his old teammate, and he's going to see Slay on 70-75% of his routes. Yeah. It's a really tough matchup.
If you want to do that, go ahead. And Danny Dimes, just be careful here. He could certainly rush for 50 yards and maybe find a touchdown, but I have him as quarterback 14 again this week. That includes Brady in a terrible matchup, Rodgers on a bye, 16. I mean, you know, you got Matthew Stafford out. Like, there are some pretty
better
bad,
you know,
there are some quarterbacks in pretty bad spots, and I still can't get Daniel Jones ahead of quarterback 14.
Yeah, he has three top 10s this year, and he's playing the Eagles, who are allowing 10.5 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks.
Yeah. Not what I want.
No.
Not what I want.
No.
Hey, do you guys care that Kenny Golladay is practicing in full?
Lineup block. Hey, what year is it?
I mean, it's crazy, right?
He was so good with
the Lions. I sort of forgot that he was still on the team. I mean, really,
I think they forgot he was still on the team, too.
They don't want him to be on the team. They don't have a choice.
Next year, we'll play him for somebody else.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, or, I don't know.
Really? Right,
definitely.
All right, let's talk about, can he get out of that contract next year, Field?
I mean, is someone else going to sign him? Like, I know he won't be on the Giants.
Oh, yeah, he will be cut, and someone will sign him. Yeah, he'll get a chance.
Though. He'll be with the Chiefs in preseason and then cut at final cuts or something. Like,
yeah. Well, it'll be the Allen Robinson situation again.
He'll
right?
go to the Rams.
Like, we're all going
to
be like, oh, he went to the Rams. Yes! Yeah, Allen Robinson. Then it's like, oh, wait, never mind.
Kenny Golladay, Matthew Stafford joining up with Cooper Kupp. I'm telling you guys. All right, let's talk Panthers at Seahawks. I don't say I want it, Mike Clay. Panthers at Seahawks. We will talk lineup blocks for this one. Geno Smith,
here.
Tyler Huge Lockett, one, DK Metcalf, Kenneth Walker III, assuming he plays Stefania.
There's zero clarity on that right now because he's not practicing. And we talked the other day about how nebulous this injury is with him, and we have no detail. And it's just a weird description from Pete Carroll about what's going on. And without him being involved in practice yet this week, there's really no way to gauge it.
Tony Jones Jr., I did not see on the injury report for the Seahawks because I checked it last night. Obviously, no Kenneth Walker in Wednesday's practice.
No
DJ Dallas and Travis Homer. DJ Dallas was in DMP. Travis Homer was limited. He missed last week's game because of illness/a knee issue. So right now,
sounds like he could be available. Yeah.
So you're going to have to make some sort of decision. And for those that haven't yet, go look at DJ Dallas's player page on ESPN.com. Yeah, all-time headshot.
He's staring into your soul.
He and Robbie Anderson are probably competing for best headshot on ESPN.com, but DJ Dallas is looking wide-eyed into you.
That's me trying to figure out which Seahawks running back to use this week, because we have no idea. Yeah, right. Everyone is injured.
That's checking my personal record when I'm like, wow.
I love you.
Another key injury, though, here. Yeah. Deontay Foreman.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, Deontay Foreman now questionable to play.
Mm-hmm. Did not practice yesterday. Foot injury.
Love a foot injury in running backs.
Cut off a bye, no less, by the way. And he implies he's going to play on Sunday. But, you know, I didn't want to interrupt Stefania when Trevor Lawrence said he thinks he's going to play. What do you expect him to play? Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to go out there. Like, of course he expects himself to play. We'll see. I mean, Doug Peterson was not committal to it. And Trevor Lawrence was like, yeah, I expect to play. Like, I am preparing for the possibility he sits on Sunday.
Yeah.
They're 4-9.
I think
he's the franchise.
Will play.
We'll see, but I'm preparing for the possibility he won't, is what I'm saying. Like,
just in case.
They have to take the bigger picture at some point, right?
Maybe.
Is there anything with the Carolina Panthers? I guess now that Sam Darnold's back on the center, is DJ Moore back in our fantasy lineups, Mike?
I guess so. Only six targets last week. I don't like that. Four games under seven targets. We're not used to that. I think that number goes up, though, because Darnold threw to him so much last year. Good matchup is right. And like, he was just really good with Sam Darnold last week, and he still had over 100 yards and a touchdown last week. So
it's
that connection is just
really
good.
We're talking about how great the Seahawks rookie cornerback duo has been, and yet it's still a good matchup for opposing passing games.
Yeah, right? they've slowed down receivers, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, still good.
It's not something you're super worried about, and I'm just not worried about Moore. Like, I just think Darnold has shown over and over and over he could get him the football. That's what counts.
That is exactly what counts. And, you know, What else counts is being able to make sure that you are protected both on and off the road, in and out of your home and field gates.
I love your transitions. You will make anything work. And Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Love you too. Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage, plus add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
All right, week 14 squirrel stock. Here we go. We're going to get this thing started with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook taking on the Detroit Lions. You guys may be saying to yourself, how high does he go? And I say, hold on just one moment, good friend.
Uh-oh. Interesting. Okay.
Dalvin Cook goes into squirrel stock down for this week against the Detroit Lions.
Are you?
You're really crazy.
Listen to me about this. Weeks 1 through 7, the Detroit Lions gave up 29.2 running backs points per game. That is the third most in the NFL. And of course, we know that the Lions are a bad defense. Everyone talks about how the Lions are a bad defense, right? But the thing that has shifted is their run defense has actually gotten surprisingly better over the last couple of weeks. I want to throw up a tweet here on the screen that I sent out a couple days ago after we got through this last game against Travis Etienne.
Showing your own tweets.
Since week 9, the Detroit Lions have not allowed a running back to hit 10 fantasy points in a game. Week 9, Aaron Jones, 6.5. In week 10, David Montgomery hit 5.4. Week 11, it's just Saquon Barkley held to 5.5 fantasy points. Week 12, Devin Singletary at 9. And week 13, Travis Etienne hit 7.6 fantasy points over the last 5 weeks. Those guys aren't scrubs. They're not a bunch of like nobodies in the NFL. We're talking about decent running backs. So I still have Dalvin Cook obviously ranked as a running back one here this week. But this Detroit Lions defense, their run defense, is better than you would expect. All I'm saying is lower expectations just a little bit for what you would think on Dalvin Cook this week.
First of all, I just learned you have Twitter. So I'll have to check that out. Follow you maybe. I'll say this about Cook. He has at least 22 touches in his last two games. He did have a couple duds recently. It was Dallas and it was New England, right? Two really good defenses. Obviously, he scored a touchdown in 6 of his last 8 games. So, and the exceptions were those two defenses. So you're right. Lions run defense has been much better, but Cook's probably going to push for 20 plus touches. So I guess I'm not as worried as you are.
You don't have him as well.
I have him RB7.
I have him RB9.
All right. Well,
so
yeah, you're
I'm
a hater,
just saying
clearly.
Lower expectations on Dalvin
Cook.
A
little bit.
I think it's, you know, what's really tough. I wanted to find a way to get him lower as a part of this segment. And I'm like, you just get to a certain point with running backs and you're like, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't. But I do think this is going to be a tougher matchup than people would likely give it credit for when they think about the Detroit Lions defense.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the point of the year where it's like, it's hard to, like a lot of the conversations, we kind of know what the conclusion is, right? Like I think what you just, like what you laid out is very informative and yet your conclusion is still the same.
You still got to start them.
So we're kind of like reshifting how we present some of our information. Like a chance for us to kind of sort of spread our wings, do some, you know, a little more conversational here. I was thinking about this, like, just like an idea I was thinking about recently. We should get board bets back in the mix. And I was thinking, like, board bets, like, it's one thing to have a board in which you count scores, but, like, maybe there's, like, a charity aspect involved.
Ooh,
okay. Maybe each week two of us make a board bet, and whatever the wager is, right? Hey, if I win, Mike, $25 to a charity of my choosing. Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, we have a donation pile. So, like, that's, like, an idea I've been spinning my mind. So, like, maybe we can do a Dalvin Cook. We have him. You have him at 9. I have him at 8.
I'll say outside the top 10. You want to say, you want to go lower than that? Outside the top 12?
It doesn't matter. You know, 10, fine. I don't care. Whatever. You choose a number. I don't care.
Can
this is for charity. It's good. Yeah. You choose
the
charity.
Field J's go-karting school for kids.
No. We're doing this for a little bit, you know, put our money where our mouth this year. I'm confident in Dalvin Cook. You name the number, both in terms of where you want him ranked and how much, I don't know.
I'll say outside the top 10.
Okay.
And I will say, let's start with $25. Let's make it easy.
$25. It's week. Yeah. Maybe next year if we get in, like, we'll have this every week, maybe going for it. I kind of like this idea. I was thinking about this on the drive in today.
And if you need money to pay for it, Fields wallet's right there.
It's right over there on the floor.
Just snatch that quick. It's just sitting on the floor. We'll just grab it.
$11 in cash here. Okay. $25 to a charity of your choosing. I say Dalvin Cook is a top 10 running back in week 14.
I say Dalvin Cook is not a top 10 running back in week 14. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
All right. Love that. Someone's going to get some good money there either way.
If he's outside of the top 20, it's $50.
That's fair.
I have a charity.
Oh, okay.
No.
You're just like, ready for it. Just, yeah. Okay.
Just give me money.
I'm ready to receive.
Give her money or wine. Yeah. And we're good.
By the way, if I lose, I'm showing up with a massive check, like one of those like full size checks.
That's fair.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. How about top five for you? It's $50 for me. Outside the top 20, $50 for you. That way we're on both sides.
We'll have some fun with this.
All right. Let's talk about.
It's a very important time of the year to do good for others. Let's see what we can do to make our own little small contribution.
Speaking of doing good for
others.
And by
the way, mark this down, Kyle. For next year, I want every week board bets, charity. We're doing it.
We got to figure out a way to do a board bet between more than two people. So it's got to be. We got to all be in. Yeah,
we'll take your money too, Stefania. Don't worry.
You want in?
Yeah,
you
want to be pick a side. Everyone just picks a side.
Yeah. We'll figure that out.
You want in on Dalvin Cook board bet or no?
No, I'm going to watch that one from a distance. Mike, but you want I'm in? Saying
no,
the next.
Not yet.
All right.
This is your thing now. I just feel like an outsider. So.
Mike and I are going to sit here watch.
What do you think it's like for me when I'm watching from like, you know, three laps behind and I'm like, this is Mike and Daniel's thing up there.
All right. I want to talk about
Ricciardo, Max Verstappen.
TJ Hockenson, really quickly. We can get through this one pretty quickly as well. This, for me, is about the revenge game. It is about my dude, TJ Hockenson, coming back to Detroit and taking on what is a weak passing or a weak secondary and linebacking core that can be taken advantage of here. TJ Hockenson coming back to Detroit.
You think he knows about that?
No one knows that linebacking core and that secondary better than TJ Hockenson, and that is where the Detroit Lions are able to get beat. Is through the air. And so while I have Dalvin Cook down, TJ Hockenson, we all have him as a top three tight end. He is an obvious must start here this week, but in a revenge game at home, I'm excited to see what he's going to do here in Detroit. Yeah. All right.
I don't do revenge game like factors in my projections.
You don't do that? Yeah.
But he's been awesome. That's really why. I like him.
You have him top three for that reason?
I think so. Where do I have him? I have him third.
You have him at third. Yeah. Look at that.
He's one of what, four reliable tight ends?
Yeah. There four? I'm not sure.
I guess
$25. Yeah. What is that?
I'll take the over on Mark Andrews. I think someone said the other day, like Mark Andrews has been out targeted. He has fewer fantasy points than Kyle Pitts since he came back from injury.
Stop.
And like Pitts has been on IR for a few weeks. Like he's even struggling now. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Unreal. All right.
You want to board bet whether Mark Andrews will have more fantasy points than Travis Kelce this season, Mike?
We already did that. I might just donate to charity on principle.
$10,000 on that. $10,000 to Kelce outscores Andrews.
It felt good after a month. I was like, all right, I'm going to win this one. Nope.
All right. I got one more guy I want to give to you guys. And I know, Mike, you should be on the same page with me with this one. It's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry. If you look at Derrick Henry, you've been starting him. Derrick Henry's still a top five running back, but he has been struggling over the last month, the last four games. He has not hit 100 rushing yards, not once. He did not have more than one rushing touchdown over the last 4 weeks. And while he is utilizing the passing game, which is something that we have talked about, Field, he's not getting volume in the passing game. No more than three targets over the last month. And so while he is catching a couple passes, Derrick Henry has not been capital D Derrick Henry.
Actually, that actually expands, not just over the last month, but over the last 5.5 years of his NFL career.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just never been.
He actually
that much of
already got a career high in receiving yards for the season. He's close to receptions, career high for a season. I mean, honestly, it seems like the biggest issue with Derrick Henry this year is yards after contact. If you go look at it, it's a category he's traditionally ranked at the very top of, along with Nick Chubb. Last check, he was like second worst amongst qualified running backs.
Which is weird because he started off really well in that category. Like the first few games of the year,
We'll see whether they were right or wrong on this, but the Titans were reticent to extend Derrick Henry this offseason.
They were.
They moved money up, but this upcoming offseason sets up for a very interesting one for the Titans, who of course now need a new general manager, but...
To me, that's not because they got rid of AJ Brown. Like, what's everybody going to do except expect Derrick Henry to be the threat?
What's everybody been expecting for the past four
years? Yeah, but they at least had somebody win AJ Brown. I mean,
there were a lot of games where AJ Brown wasn't there and they knew exactly what was going to happen. Uh-huh. And Derrick Henry still ran for like 225 yards and two touchdowns.
So this was a lead in to say Derrick Henry, if you've had him over the last month, has maybe felt disappointing to you.
Oh, so we stock up.
But it's stock up because I was waiting
to jump in and like, this is stock up because of.
But he has the rest of the schedule, three of his next five opponents are against bottom five running defenses.
All right, let's go.
So when you look at Derrick Henry, I understand you've been starting him all the way. He's still a top five running back, but he has been struggling a little bit. And when you see that, I think those expectations are able to go back to what you expect for Derrick Henry over the last or upcoming for the next 4 to 5 games here. Mike Clay, I love Derrick Henry. I know that we all do.
Yeah, and that starts this week.
Yep.
Playing Jacksonville,
Jacksonville,
right?
Jaguars.
Traditionally been really good against them, so I'm
the
with
Houston
you.
Houston Texans, and then Dallas is not great, and then the... And
oh,
then,
Houston.
Is it four straight games against 200 yards against the Texans. So
it's unbelievable. It's in a really good spot, I think, for Derrick
Henry.
Could
be a league winner come play. I mean, it's, you know, he's a first-round pick, but he could be a guy that... has a couple of huge games during the fantasy playoffs and helps
tasty schedule.
He
has one game over 20 fantasy points in the last four games, and the only reason he hit it is because he threw a passing touchdown.
Yeah, by the way, we didn't say the schedule, right? So Jacksonville, Chargers, who, 5.6 yards per carry to running backs, worse than the NFL. Houston. Just talked about.
Watch that yards, that yards after contact stat going to go way up after the next few weeks.
14, 15, 16. Yeah. So week 17 is Dallas. So that's tough.
That's a tough
when
one.
Championships are, but hopefully you're in the championship. And then if you play in week 18, Jacksonville again.
Right. So really great matchup. Yep. All right. CSX, a growing Fortune 500 logistics company, has immediate openings for freight train conductors. If you are looking for a rewarding career, offering paid training at nearly $25 per hour, competitive benefits, and you share a passion for great service, apply today at csx.com/careers. That's csx.com/careers. CSX, committed to supporting military and veteran families and their communities. CSX is an equal opportunity employer.
All right.
Every time I hear CSX, I think about CSS.
Oh, DFS.
CSS, DFS podcast,
which is coming up later today.
A must listen DFS podcast. All right, time now for us to wrap up the show with our friend and your favorite, of course, Mr. Adam Schefter. Shefty, good morning to you. And Shefty, it's been an interesting and busy couple of days in Los Angeles, which is where I want to start.
Yeah.
Because 3 days ago, Baker Mayfield woke up a Carolina Panther. Today, he might have woken up feeling dangerous, and possibly as the Rams started tonight, what more can you tell us about that maybe happening tonight?
Well, here's the situation. John Wolford is listed as questionable for tonight due to a neck injury, and they want to see him in pregame warmups and see how he's feeling. Now, if he goes out there and feels great, I think John Wolford starts tonight. The question is, if he doesn't feel great during pregame warmups, doesn't look great, what do the Rams then do? And what they then would do, it sounds like, they would then start Baker Mayfield 2 days after they claimed him on waivers from the Carolina Panthers. Now, here's a little bit more background there, Field. I think if this game were Sunday, I think it's a no-brainer. I think Baker Mayfield starts, okay? But the short week makes it that much harder for him to get up to speed. The interesting part here, of course, is that he took a 5 o'clock flight out of Charlotte on Tuesday, shortly after he was claimed to go to L.A. And one of the reasons he waited, he had to see where he was going to go, first and foremost. Yeah. But once he was claimed, he knew that he could wind up in Los Angeles. And if that were the case, he wanted to be able to download the playbook onto his iPad to be able to study it on the cross-country flight to Los Angeles to get that much more up to speed. Now, before he left, he also was talking to the Panthers offensive lineman Austin Corbett about the Rams offense, trying to figure out how it works and getting a better handle on. So he really has immersed himself, and I can tell you this, that in talking to Rams officials over the last 24 hours, I mean, I don't know that they would say anything different, but they said it's been really impressive to watch how quickly he's picked up everything, and we'll see whether that turns into a start tonight against the Raiders.
That is very interesting. I mean, just the idea that a guy could start 2 days after arriving is interesting in and of itself, but to see Baker sort of doing that much legwork before he actually arrived on the ground in Los Angeles, kudos to you, Baker Mayfield. Interesting opportunity, regardless of whether he starts tonight or not. We'll stay in the same division, Shefty. And the 49ers, we know Jimmy G is, if he does return, not going to be a factor during the fantasy season. But I wanted to ask you, obviously you've done plenty of reporting on this entire quarterback situation. What sense you get on the confidence level that the 49ers have in their new starter, Brock Purdy?
Well, this will be music to Stefania's ears, but it is high. Yeah. It is very high. And I will say this, Field. I remember watching him during the preseason, Brock Purdy. And I remember speaking to various members of the 49ers organization, people connected to the organization. And I don't say this often, and I'm not telling you that he will be this guy, right? But when I watched him in the preseason, I felt the same way that I did about watching Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson. Mm. Like Dak Prescott, when you watch him in the preseason, he popped.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, when you watch him in the preseason of his rookie year, he popped. Brock Purdy, when you watched him in the preseason of his rookie, he popped. Now, we'll see what that translates into. And again, I want to be very, I'm not saying he's Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson. All I'm saying is he was impressive with the way he played. And then when you watched him on Sunday, the way he stood in the pocket against the Dolphins, I think he completed 27 of 35 passes off the bench against a reasonably tough Miami defense in a tough spot. And I can tell you that the 49ers players are definitely impressed with this guy, and they definitely believe in him. Now, to me, the issue is, what happens if they're playing Tampa Bay on Sunday and they go down 24-10 in the third quarter? Is Brock Purdy talented enough, tough enough, experienced enough to lead him from behind, to take him on two touch? That, to me, I don't know that. And I don't think they know that. We don't know that right now.
Well, but, Shefty, I'm not sure that Bucs defense, our offense, can score 24 points against San Francisco.
Okay, but how about in the playoffs against Dallas?
Totally.
Or
no, absolutely.
The point is, the level of confidence in Brock Purdy is higher than it would be for a regular seventh-round rookie starting quarterback. First of all, we've never seen a Mr. Irrelevant become very relevant and start an NFL game the way that Brock Purdy will. But if you watch the way Fred Warner was talking about him on Sunday, if you listen to the way Trent Williams was talking about him this week, if you listen to the 49ers coaches, they think this guy can play. Yes. And so we're going to find that on Sunday whether they're right.
Stefania is sitting here nodding her head in agreement with much jubilation. By the way, you and I both have plenty of respect for the legendary Bill Parcells, who kind of has his quarterback commandments that he followed for guys during the pre-draft process. And Brock Purdy checked a lot of the boxes. Four-year starter at Iowa State, won a ton of games, team captain. These are the kind of things that you also mentioned. Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson. Both of those players also checked a lot of the Bill Parcells quarterback commandments boxes off as well. I should have asked you about this before we turned to San Francisco, but in L.A., Shefty, you were the first person to tell us that Kyren Williams was going to be a thing for the Rams. We saw a changing of the guard last week with Cam Akers as the guy. Do you have any sense about whether this could be more of a Cam Akers job going forward?
Well, the way that they used Cam Akers last week would tell you that they certainly seem to have found restored confidence in him, and it's hard to think that it wouldn't be his. Now, it could change quickly, but I think if you're looking at the Rams' backfield right now and just looking at it objectively, Cam Akers is the guy.
Yeah.
And Kyren Williams hasn't taken control there the way that I thought he might. Cam Akers has kind of fought his way back from being on the cliff of being released to where I think he had 88% of the usage last week. And so if that were the case last week and they were in the game, like, why wouldn't that continue? So to me, until I see differently, I'm operating as if Cam Akers is their clear-cut number one guy.
There's kind of a fantasy football lesson or reminder in the Cam Akers situation. If you have a talented running back, even if things are not going well, don't just trade him away for nothing. Make sure you hold on, because at some point during the season, he's going to be a value for your roster. Let's go to Cincinnati, Shefty, and obviously a major, major game between the Bengals and the Browns, two teams who hate each other. Cleveland maybe on the outside of the playoff picture, but certainly needs a lot of things to go right, starting with a win on Sunday. Cincinnati did not have Joe Mixon last week because of the concussion protocol. I know that he practiced in full on Wednesday. What's your latest info as far as whether he will play on Sunday or not?
I think it's trending the right way, but I thought that last week too. And then on Saturday, I checked and was told he hadn't cleared protocol. And that was interesting because I reached out to a couple teams, and maybe Stefania would know this more than I did, but they're like, if a player doesn't clear protocol by Friday, he almost never plays. Mm-hmm. And these teams told me they've never had a player the day of the game clear protocol and then play. And I think we talked about that on Sunday morning.
We did, yep.
On Fantasy Football Focus, right? So, again, the fact that he's out there this week, the fact that it's a week later, the fact that he was a full participant in practice, they still want to see him take contact before they clear him to play. And I don't know whether he's going to step back in and be, you know, the workhorse, or whether he and Samaje Perine are going to share. I don't know how that's going to work just yet. But my guess is that we'll see Joe Mixon back on the field on Sunday.
Okay, that would be huge for that Cincinnati offense that will not most likely have Hayden Hurst. He's already being called doubtful to play on Sunday. Yeah. That game should be very, very fun to watch, since he is just red hot right now. We'll get you out of here on this, Shefty. As always, you have the two teams who are playing on Monday Night Football on the chest of drawers, or I guess that's a bookshelf behind you, not a chest of drawers. And it's the Cardinals playing host to the Patriots, and we have not yet seen a game in which the Cardinals had DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown and Rondale Moore. The most iffy out of those three to play on Monday is Rondale Moore. Do you have any early intel before you head out to Arizona on, I would assume, Sunday night, about whether Moore could be back in the fold?
My honest answer is no.
Okay.
But if you had texted me before the show to find, hey, I'm going to ask you about running, I could have texted and found, but I don't have a sense right now. I don't know. It would be, they certainly could use him, and he was highly productive before he got hurt. It was a hamstring that he suffered in Mexico City in the first quarter.
Right. Yeah.
And that was about, what, 3 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Stefania, what do you think?
I don't know.
I think Stefania feels like you do right now. Yeah, I think we're all, you know what, Shefty? I'll ask you again on Sunday. How about that? We'll ask Shefty for more on
that?
Sunday.
I will come armed and ready with Rondell Moore information on Sunday.
Sunday morning it is.
Shefty, what you need to know is that everybody in Arizona is always a possibility to play, and they're going to check them out before game time, and then they're going to make the decision. And you know how some teams, like, you know their routine by now. Yeah. That is Arizona to a T.
Shefty,
we can get to the bottom of that.
Okay, we'll have information, we promise, by Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now from Shefty on Rondell Moore. As always, we appreciate you joining us here. Shefty, we'll talk to you on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll see you all over the ESPN airwaves between now and then. Have a wonderful Thursday, and if you have any Devontae Adams or Josh Jacobs in your life, I hope they go off for many points.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. We'll see you Sunday.
All righty. Great stuff, as always, from Shefty as we wrap up the show there. We have a busy, I can already forecast a busy show tomorrow. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. Very busy. Is there maybe some rumors swirling about a quarterback change out there?
We've got more game previews to dive into. We'll go four wides. We'll have four voices. Should be a jolly old time. Can't wait for tonight. Can't wait for
tomorrow. Love what Adam said about Brock Purdy. I'm just going to say that now.
I know. Chef Stefania was just sitting there just like,
well, no, because I heard Fred Warner said he had it. He said Brock Purdy has the it thing. I'm like,
the it
they know.
Yeah. If Fred Warner says something, I'm probably going to listen. You know what I mean?
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, great job by
you
today.
Thanks, great job by you. By everyone today. We are going to be back tomorrow.
You sure about that with Mike?
Well, we could turn up the kindness a little bit, Mike, maybe. Just a little bit. On behalf of everyone on the crew.
Go Dalvin Cook.
Don't forget to love each other. We love you guys. Be kind to yourself. You have earned that today. We cannot wait to see you tomorrow. Have fun watching Thursday Night Football, and we'll be back to talk about a whole bunch of Week 14 games.
More board bets forthcoming
tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Ding.
Ding. Ding. Well, did you mean to do that or no?
No. Yeah. I'm just a happy,
even when
lucky
you're bad,
idiot.
You're good.
Yeah. Good aim. Good
Thank
aim.
You. I appreciate that.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.